Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on.
Let's travel back in time. Maybe the 50s. Can you picture it? You're sitting in a diner booth, looking at the menu, and going back and forth between a hamburger or a stack of pancakes. And let's be honest, you don't actually have to time travel for this because you could just go to your local diner. But in recent years, we have been seeing more restaurants calling themselves diners and charging nearly $20 an entree. So, what makes a true classic Chicago diner? We were joined by WBEZ contributor and food writer Maggie Hennessy. And I also invited listeners to call in and share their diner experiences. When I think of a classic diner, I gotta say, I think of greasy food, just comfort food, just pancakes, hash browns, milkshakes, you name it. So having this conversation with Maggie was super fun, but it also made me very hungry. And I think it's gonna do the same for you too. I began the conversation though by asking Maggie, why did you want to write about diners in the first place?
Oh, it's a great question. Well, for me, they were pretty formative. It's something I sought out as a young teenager, you know, when you wanted to just drink dollar coffee all night long and eat eggs for dinner.
Oh, those prices were great.
Oh, that's right. You know, can't be beat. To be fair, I wasn't the best customer for just drinking bottomless dollar coffee, but I think carried over through my 20s too. I remember being 22, being a young editorial assistant and going to Lou Mitchell's on Friday mornings when we would start a little later. And it was just, it sort of wrapped you in this hug of comfort, familiarity,
yes.
Fluffy omelets, short yes. stacks, you know, and a feeling that kind of anybody could rub shoulders with anyone. It feels like a third place in a sense, particularly for city folk. Pretty egalitarian concept. Anyone can come and,
yes.
and, you know, you can get a hot cup of coffee and a plate of eggs or, I mean, to be honest, it's a huge menu. Steak, used to be
such a huge
oysters,
menu.
Spaghetti and meatballs back in the day, liver and onions.
You yes.
know? But to me, it was always that breakfast, that short order cooking that just
right.
feeds your soul.
When right? I think of a good diner too, I think of, well, number one, you know, mm-hmm. cheap, greasy,
yeah.
but very tasty food. Yeah. I also think, you know, if you can whip up everything sort of the same, you know, you see the same burner going and we're, you know, multiple meals are being cooked on the same, yeah. You know, on the same stove. It's like, you know, it's going to taste really good.
Yeah, they've done nothing but practice over and over, you know.
Right. What do you think? What to you makes a good diner?
Well, there are some bona fides, you know, if you think about it, if we're talking old school,
yes.
kind of the stainless steel back bar, that unbreakable crockery, like if you dropped it on the ground, it would bounce back up. super scalding hot coffee. Some would call it sort of watery coffee, but through speaking to diner expert Richard Gutman, which I did for this piece I wrote for WBEZ, he was really kind of became my conscience. Don't disparage, you know, this is, it's sort of like calling a neighborhood tavern a dive bar.
Yes.
We have to respect that these places are anchors. They've been here meeting a need since the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other bona fides, counter seating, you know, like those bolted down stools.
Yes.
Breakfast all day, huge menu, often with pictures. This is a bonus if there are pictures on the menu.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
That is so true.
in case you don't know what pancakes look like, you know.
The classic, you know, picture of the plate with the pancakes, the eggs, and the hash browns.
Yep.
Just, you know, just for proper placement.
For proper placement.
For a visual.
Breakfast all day is essential. 24
Even
hours.
Even just open 24 hours, yes.
This is.
That's a big one.
It's they've kind of disappeared, the 24-hour diners. You know, they're fewer and further between. But I would say also one of the most important bona fides of a diner is regulars. It can build a staple of customers who come time and again, are comfortable coming more than once a week. They can afford to. And they feel comfortable there. They're known there.
Yes.
You
that
know?
Is such a good point.
Yeah.
You mentioned that stainless steel wall, too. That
yep.
that brings me back. the last I think, real diner that I went to was not in the Chicago area. So I'm so glad that you wrote this list to help expose me. And I hope we get some calls so that I can hear some of our listener favorites. But it was one in sort of the D.C. area. It's called the Silver Diner. And it was everything that you just described, mm-hmm. down to the bolted seats.
Are you a sweet or savory?
Oh, sweet.
Yes?
I'm a sweet. Yeah, everything like super... Too sweet.
Oh, it's okay.
Too sweet.
This is about profligate pleasures, the diner, you know?
The diner with the long menu.
That's right.
Let's hear from Daniel. We've got a caller in Albany Park. Hey, Daniel. Welcome to Reset.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Sure. I just really wanted to quickly shout out Loaf Lounge in Andersonville. I think they call themselves a diner, but it's the best sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich I've ever had. It is $10, so it's maybe a little more expensive than maybe what people are used to, but it is the best it's the best in the city, so just have to shout them out.
Tell me the name once more, Daniel.
Loaf Lounge.
Loaf Lounge in Avondale. Awesome. Thank you. So, writing that down.
Interestingly, Loaf Lounge is technically more of a luncheonette. So I spoke with...
Wait, what's a luncheonette?
A luncheonette is similar to a diner, shorter menu... more condensed hours usually, okay. Right? If we're talking traditional. But the truth is now, these words I think are more about aesthetics than they are about, you know, that what it actually means. Because I spoke to chef owner Ben Lusbader for this story. He takes a very traditionalist view of what the diner is.
Okay.
He doesn't consider Loaf Lounge a diner, but he was really, really inspired by diners and grew up in Western Pennsylvania going to diners. And then as a chef, because he worked super late hours, it was the only thing to eat here in Chicago. You know, when he would get off work, he'd go mm-hmm. to Diner Grill up on Irving Park, or the Parkview Diner down in Pilsen. Okay. Those are two of his favorites. But we learned through some digging that his place doesn't actually qualify, even though it was really, really important to him in terms of design, comfortability, and a place people could come over and over.
Well, our caller Daniel was a little, you know, on the fence about whether it was, but hey,
that's my favorite.
He's got it in his diner category for sure.
That's right. So my favorite part about this is when people it makes them stop and think, mm-hmm. you know, what actually this is and the power of the word, what it means.
Well, when I was preparing the chat with you, Maggie, I was thinking, and I asked the team, I said, well, Waffle House, I mean, does that sort of qualify as a diner? Because I think diners, you know, in order to be that real classic, like it's a one of one.
Yeah.
Or maybe there are two locations. But Waffle House could be the exception, right?
I kind of think so. And I think that you're getting at what makes a diner, which is kind of moldability.
Right.
In order to survive, they had to keep changing. I mean, it used to be the origin of the diner was kind of a lot more like a food truck. It was like a little wagon that would pull up with very minimal tiny, tiny food menu. They'd come when there wasn't other food around for people, usually late at night, mm-hmm. feed hungry travelers. This is like late 1800s, and they'd be gone by breakfast time. But the milieu, the hot, quick, short order food
yes.
was so popular that then they decided to get off the streets and open 24 hours a day. After World War II, when a bunch of fast food concepts started popping up, that's when they got the huge menus they were trying to compete with.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then if you think about just all the other evolutions of a diner, it was to meet need. If you're, you know, first, second generation immigrant, you're going to throw a couple of maybe Filipino dishes on the menu if that's where you're from, or Mexican-inspired
dishes.
Also, the
ethnic foods start coming in.
Exactly.
Nice.
And then it gives people a taste of home, recent immigrants. But it's also delicious. You know, Chicago is such a melting pot anyway. It can be a differentiator for your place.
For sure. Yeah. Our senior producer, Meha, says if we're talking suburbs, my go-to has always been Loom's Pancake House in Palos Heights. She says, I've been going there since college. It's family-owned, and they remember me no matter how long it's been since I went. She says that they've got the best corned beef hash skillet in town.
Yes. Oh, I can't. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yes.
So
that's another one to add to your list.
This is the thing. If you make a list.
Yeah, you wrote an article. It's up online right now at WBEZ.org. You've committed to it.
I committed.
But you've got 11 essential diners in the city. So talk a bit more about the ones that made the list.
So some that made the list, well, for me, are a few staples. Diner Grill being one of them for, you know, just hearty, soul feeding, and it's tiny. You know, they do have a patio now, but just a few, you know, bolted down stools and a counter and just classics.
Yes.
You know, for me, it's always ham and eggs. No matter how many times I go and I'll ask for a menu, I know exactly what I'm getting, and it's ham and eggs.
Yes.
I like that kind of little barnyard funk of the ham, and they sear it and then they cook those eggs. I love them over medium. I always get extra crispy hash browns. It's heavenly.
You're making me hungry.
Right? Oh, this is what I'm here for.
This is what you're here for. Now, before I get to the runner-ups, the ones that you couldn't fit on your list, mm-hmm. let's hear from some callers who are waiting on the line. First up is Christian in Lakeview. Hey, Christian. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Hey, how are y'all?
Doing well. I bet you've got a favorite diner you want to shout out.
Yeah, the Golden Apple in Lakeview. I heard about it before I moved to Chicago mm-hmm. from that 24 Hours episode that they did on This American Life. Yeah. So when I moved to the city, it was one of the first places I had to go.
Yes, the Golden Apple in Lakeview. I have passed that so many times, Christian.
It's so good.
Haven't gone in, but here's my motivation. I'm going to do it.
Christian, what is your go-to order there?
Oh, I keep it really, really simple. I'll usually just do their basic 2-egg breakfast with the hash browns. I just like being in there. They have a lot of a bunch of small two-person booths.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I like. It's just like perfect because it's just you and your other person.
Yeah, so yeah. Cozy. Love that. Thank you, Christian. Let's hear now from Jesse in Humboldt Park. Hey, Jesse.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So what's your recommendation?
Yeah, I would just like to give a huge shout out to Huck Finn, which is the diner on the corner of Damon and Archer in McKinley Park on the south side.
Great one.
I'm from Humboldt Park, but I had friends in McKinley Park, and I've been there so many times since I was a teenager to now. And some of those times were so late at night after so much partying that I can barely remember paying.
Oh, boy, those sound like some wild nights, Jesse. Thank you for sharing. So you did a huge response there, Maggie, when, mm-hmm. when he mentioned that. Is that a favorite of yours too?
It's not super familiar to me. I think I've only been there once. And this is a bit of the challenge of doing the list, is you kind of get your creature comforts, but it's mm-hmm. a great spot.
Yeah.
I'm just really happy to have it back in my head. I think that's what caused the reaction.
So that would be one of the runner-ups that didn't quite
100%.
Make it, but should have been on the list, right?
Yes.
What else?
So a few other runner-ups, which is created some really fun conversations as well. One was the Yellow Rose Cafe in Jefferson Park. I haven't been to myself, but at least two or three folks reached out and mentioned. Another one was Pauline's on Balmoral, I think, in Andersonville.
Yes.
The cool thing was the guy who reached out immediately said, well, he couched it in, well, I'm not sure, you know, technically now after reading the piece, it might qualify as a luncheonette. So I felt very proud, very smug.
Yeah, Pauline's gets a lot of love from one of our producers here on Reset. Her name's Ari.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she loves Pauline's. She also loves Dapper's on Addison.
Oh, this one I don't know.
She says that they've got delicious matzo ball soup.
Oh, great to know.
So you got to add that to your list.
I'm adding it. And then it was another one that was sort of met with some back and forth was Valois in Hyde Park, which... I and Richard Gutman, who the expert I interviewed, would both consider more of a cafeteria than a diner, even though you can find a lot of the same menu items, you know, really great steak and eggs, et cetera. And it's an institution. So it's worth talking about it, even if it doesn't technically meet whatever those definitions
so
are, right?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of you and Richard, some more of, I love that your descriptions in the article, you write, quote, chef-driven brunch spots cosplaying as a diner. You got to talk more about that. Or how Massachusetts-based diner expert Richard Gutman, who you've mentioned, he said hipster diner.
Yes.
Since undergoing your extensive diner research, I wonder how you feel now about those modern diners.
It's interesting. I went in with sort of a snobby hypothesis, you know, that they were ruining this very pure egalitarian concept to me. And like I said, Richard, he sort of became my conscience in the piece by saying, but a diner is in the eye of the beholder in many ways. If you feel comfortable with shrimp and grits and with braised pistachio garnish, like you can get at a Little Goat Diner, which is Stephanie mm-hmm. Izard's place on Southport Corridor, which I would consider more of like a hipster brunchy bakery cafe place.
Yes.
But if that's your entry point to this idea of a diner, you know, I think that's great. The one thing that's tough is if you are higher end, so if it's, you know, a more fine dining chef getting into the game, they're buying ingredients and building menus like finer dining. So it might alienate some folks who come in expecting to still be able to get dinner for, or, you know, breakfast for under $10, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So there is that. But I had such a snobby attitude towards it. I'm like, old school all the way, White Palace Grill, you know, like, and then I kind of realized, you know, Dove's Luncheonette, for example, in Wicker Park, super buzzy spot. You can drink a breakfast margarita, have like very Borderlands brunch food,
right.
You know, brisket hash, this giant Norte taco.
Oh, goodness.
With beef. Maggie. And so, I know, it's so good. But they have a lot of the bona fides, a lot of stool counter seating, but they're like spinning vinyl. So it's like this hipster version. But for us, it gives us those warm, fuzzy feelings.
So they're a diner in their own right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I have to call out a source, I spoke to Lawrence Latrero from Buy & Co. Diner, which is fairly new, in the old Glenn's Diner space in Ravenswood. He calls it like, I think it's a modern diner with an old soul, like, you know, which is funny. Lawrence himself, he wouldn't consider Glenn's Diner, which they opened Buy & Co. Diner inside,
right.
Its predecessor. He wouldn't consider that a diner because they served cereal and like fish. And he's like, come on, this isn't a diner. You know, a diner is eggs. But his spot, while the prices I would put a little more on par with that kind of chef-driven hipster diner, you can get a lot of the same feelings from it. It's cozy. It's a one-off. It's, you know, independently yes. owned. It's a type of place that you'd feel comfortable coming more than once a week.
But the vibes are there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can check out Maggie's full list, as we mentioned, at WBEZ.org. WBEZ food writer and contributor, Maggie Hennessy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sasha. Such a pleasure.
That episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ari Mejia. Get the news, politics, and culture happening in Chicago by subscribing to our podcast. We post episodes every morning and afternoon, Monday through Friday, with a bonus episode on Saturdays. Sign up for it at wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.